Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you, brother?
I'm well. I am well. Right. Thank you.
You having a little carpal tunnel?
Yeah, I got surgery coming up on Thursday. I won't be in on the show on Thursday.
Say a prayer for Steve.
It's a common surgery. I got a carpal tunnel in my right hand. I haven't felt my thumb or first two fingers in months, makes it hard to pick things up and to type.
Can you type?
It hurts. I can't. It's slow, and it really hurts. So I'm going to have that surgery on Thursday, and hopefully I'll be back on the following Monday. I might not be full use, but I should be conscious and able to contribute. So,
all right. Well, I'm Tim with Wesley, and Ray is with us too, and we're glad to have you listening to American Family Radio. So, Ray, your Ole Miss Rebels play Thursday night. You going to be watching that?
Yes, sir. You know, I think I'm a typical football fan. You're a believer, but you're a skeptic. You doubt your own team, right?
Oh, yeah. It's part of being American.
It's when we played Georgia at the half, I knew there was no way Ole Miss was going to come back on Georgia and win that game. And it took some
– Well, I do think the psyche changes depending on how many years you win. Like Alabama, right. Ohio State, and Georgia they go into the game thinking they're going to dominate, and they don't. Something's wrong with the world.
That's right.
If you're a new kid on the block with the big boys like Ole Miss, you just wonder, hey, when am I going to wake up from this dream I'm having?
That's exactly right.
Now, Miami's the 10th graded team. It's number 10 in the bracket. Now, it has been –
You mean the team Ole Miss plays?
Thursday night in Arizona. Is the number 10 team in the bracket.
Seeding.
But they have beat Texas A&M, and they beat Ohio State. So I think they're formidable, but they are not – like, they're not the first-ranked team. So.
I think they've – this is just a guess. This is Wesley. No, but did y'all even ask what I think about
this? No, we care.
Okay.
We do.
I think that Miami has exhausted every strategy and every thought and idea and every effort just to win – to beat A&M, which I didn't think they could do, and then beat Ohio State, which I didn't think they could do. I think I give Ole Miss a 4-point advantage here.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, of course, Wesley and I are Mississippi State fans, and we're glad football season's over. And we keep reminding people like Ray and our Ole Miss friends, who many of them live amongst us here.
We live amongst you.
We have to live together.
We coexist.
Us Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, we ain't like Ohio State and Michigan, where you're separated by a border.
Everything's intermingled here. Intermarried.
That's right. That's right, brother. So I just have to keep reminding my Ole Miss friends that to keep the important things in life, and college football should not be, you know what I'm saying? I think you're taking this far too seriously. So I try to remind them about how the priorities.
Somehow, it doesn't sound like the most sincere thing you've ever said.
I'm trying to remind them that we should have priorities in life, and college football really shouldn't be in the top 10 if you want to maintain your Christian witness. Am I convincing?
Unless your team is in the semifinals, and that's an exception to that rule.
And they move in the top 3.
Yeah, unless your team's at the top, in which case you move into the idolatry.
Yeah.
That's right. You're into a completely different kind of problem now.
Yeah, that's funny because the excitement level, and I know it's the same way in Indiana and Oregon and Miami, but especially for Indiana fans and for Ole Miss fans who haven't been in this position before, to be in the final four teams of all of college football is just, it's the closest thing to college football heaven that you can get besides winning it all. So it's pretty amazing. And so we'll see how it turns out the Thursday and Friday night.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Since you brought it up.
All right, I brought it up.
Wesley already – You know, he picked a 4-point spread.
You picked Ole Miss to beat Miami, Wesley?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Okay, it's what's going to happen, he says.
Okay, and he knows he's the handicapper, but you know.
I'm going to pick him as well.
Okay.
I'm going to pick
who you picking on the other
I'm
side.
I'm going to pick the Ole Miss Rebels and the Indiana Hoosiers.
Yep, that's what's going to happen.
To play in the national championship.
Are you looking at my score sheet?
No, I just think Oregon's got Oregon and
They're
Miami.
A good team.
Oregon and Miami are great teams too, so I mean it's probably going to be two great games on Thursday night and Friday night, but for those fan bases, Ole Miss and Indiana, it's like, you know, they're living a dream, okay?
Yeah.
Don't wake me up. So, do we have that comment from Trinidad Shambliss?
We do.
Okay, this gentleman, young man compared to me, he's the quarterback for the Ole Miss Rebels, and he has quite a story. He was recruited to Ole Miss after he was not recruited in high school to a Division I school, I'm talking about. He's from the state of Michigan. And his name is Trinidad. I've never heard that name for a first name for somebody, but I think it has something to do with his mom and her Christian faith. Trinidad, I think so.
Maybe.
I could be wrong about that. But do you have the clip from him?
I do, yeah. This is him. He was talking. This is after the game, and a reporter asked him a question. This is what he answered. Cut 12.
After the beat, Georgia.
Now you've won the Sugar Bowl to advance in the college football playoff. How did this happen?
Man, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Through and through, he's been with me. Ups and the downs, man. I just got to thanks to God. It's been amazing. Amazing journey. I got to thanks to Oxford community, Ole Miss, for giving me the opportunity to play here.
If you didn't hear it, he said thanks to Jesus. He's been with him through the ups and downs.
Right. That's the key part I wanted to focus on, the ups and downs. Wasn't that Jesus,
helped ruin the game.
Jesus made me win. It's that Jesus Christ has been with him through his ups and downs. And I saw his mom hugging him and talking about this. They were talking about her faith.
Also, you emphasize, he said, I appreciate Ole Miss for giving me an opportunity, a chance to play the game.
Yeah, because, I mean, as I say, he was a Division II or III quarterback.
Division II at Ferris State.
State. And then now he's on the national scene in the college playoffs. It's like a storybook. And he wouldn't have been in that position had the starting quarterback for Ole Miss not been hurt.
That's right.
Earlier in the season, who is a great quarterback in his own right. Mm. All right, well, a lot of individual storylines. We'll see what happens on Thursday and Friday. All right, Steve, what do you got?
We got a very interesting story involving Scott Adams, who's the creator of the Dilbert cartoon. But before we get to that, just something that just crossed my path. I wanted to tell you about the New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani has put in place a new rule.
This is good.
That allows mosques to amplify the call to prayer in Manhattan or throughout New York City.
I thought you were going to cover the part where they increased the...
Well, they increased the bus fare that is supposed to be free. But no, this is... We're deciding not to play the
actual audio.
Call to prayer on
We're sparing everybody.
No, I think we need to hear it. Do we have it?
We're sparing everybody.
Okay, just let me make sure people understand what's going on here. Zoran Mamdani is the new mayor of New York City. He is he's a Muslim, okay? I'm just saying some Muslims would probably say he's not a real Muslim because he's very secular in many of his ways. However, in Muslim countries, you will hear the call for prayer over loudspeakers five times a day.
Starting at 5 in the morning.
And it's not a pleasant sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and also, are we sure we want to play it? Because it does, I want our audience to know we're not giving credence or we're not sharing our platform.
It's
with
in the background a little bit.
Okay.
And it's narrated a little bit.
Yeah, well, I just wanted people who've not heard it. If you've been to the Middle East, you've heard it before, or to a Muslim country, you've heard it before.
But this is Miami. This is Manhattan.
Manhattan. He's saying that the mosque can play over the loudspeakers the call to prayer five times
correct.
A day.
That on Fridays.
This is not going to be good.
And nightly during Ramadan.
All right, listen to see if you can hear this.
I think we are hearing azan. Come here.
Manhattan.
Yeah.
Mm.
You, I don't see how you're going to be able to allow that just for noise pollution, even more than it is for
noise pollution.
Well, they are. They're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens there. But what if you have 10 different mosques want to play the same thing five times a day?
Yeah.
Five times a day.
On Fridays.
Wesley, you laugh, but I mean, there are city ordinances in many
places. I know, but the word pollution is what was fun.
I don't know what you call it. Well, I don't know else what you call it.
Hey, I'm not chuckling at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my feelings are at stake here, and I don't appreciate you, you know, making fun of me.
That's fair. I don't apologize.
Yeah, I have feelings.
If I was like Brooklyn Tabernacle or what's the city in Manhattan, I would just go ahead and put on
Bible. You want
reading?
You want your Muslim call to prayer? We'll one up you right here.
That's right.
We'll give you the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
That's right. singing Deuteronomies.
Cities can't allow that kind of thing, not five times a day, maybe for special occasions. And there are probably church bells that go off, you know, once an hour just to ring the...
This is a flag. This is planting a flag.
Yeah.
This is claiming territory.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues anyway. That's New York City, and I'm not going to live there.
No.
So,
nope.
I'll visit there once a year when I have to fly out from... But, yeah. There's a lot of great things in New York City to see, but a lot of things to avoid.
A lot of us in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s were fans of Dilbert. Remember Dilbert, the office worker that was forlorn and
very popular comic strip.
Yeah, especially I worked in the Silicon Valley at the time, and it was like required reading. Scott Adams is the author and the
cartoonist.
Cartoonist that did Dilbert, and he has been very public lately with a battle that he's having with cancer. And he is terminal. He says he has months to weeks to live. And so he has decided to convert to Christianity before he dies. And I want you to hear it in his own words. And then I want to talk about this, especially with Ray. Let's listen to Cut 13.
When I talk about my own impending death, many of my Christian friends and Christian followers say to me, Scott, you still have time. You should convert to Christianity. I've not been a believer, but I also have respect for any Christian who goes out of their way to try to convert me. Because how would I believe you believe your own religion if you're not trying to convert me? You're going to hear for the first time today that it is my plan to convert. So I still have time. But my understanding is you're never too late. And on top of that, any skepticism I have about reality would certainly be instantly answered if I wake up in heaven. I do believe that the dominant Christian theory is that I would wake up in heaven if I have a good life. Yeah, I don't necessarily have to, you know, just state something in advance. And so, to my Christian friends, yes, it's coming. I am now convinced that the risk-reward is completely smart. If it turns out that there's nothing there, I've lost nothing. If it turns out there is something there, and the Christian model is the closest to it, I win. So with your permission, I promise you that I will convert.
Now, Ray, there were some encouraging things and some questionable things in that statement. Give me your read.
I have been following Scott Adams probably for 10 years. He was one of the first people to begin to explain Donald Trump before he ever became president. Persuasion techniques and all of that. Learned a great deal from Scott Adams over the years. For context, Steve, he has prostate cancer that has advanced so much that there is no other treatment available. And I think he is down, I'm only taking from what he has said in other places, he's down to the last few days or the last few weeks. And I understand what's going on here. in this sense, when you're dying of cancer, you start thinking about what's going to happen next. And Steve, let me just begin here with one of the more interesting, every pastor in America ought to pick up on this. He said, I'm grateful, I'm paraphrasing, I'm grateful to my Christian friends for trying to convert me because it means they're taking their religion seriously. How serious should I take your religion if you believe in conversion, but you're not trying to convert me? That's exactly right. If you really believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, then you ought to be busy out telling everybody every way that you can. I think probably the one thing we can say is he is, there's that story in the Gospels where Jesus had an encounter with a man. He ends up by saying, you are not far from the kingdom. And I would say that about Scott Adams today, based on just what he has said, he's not far from the kingdom. And yet, it sounds like he still doesn't understand the grace of God. Because he said something like, Christians believe you live a good life and you go to heaven. No, that's actually the opposite of what we believe. He's not the first person who's been confused about the grace of God. I am praying very sincerely that the Lord will open his eyes here in these last days, and he will see how great a sinner he is and what a wonderful Savior Jesus is, and will by simple faith come into the kingdom. Last thing, Steve, we believe in deathbed conversions. I know they don't happen all the time, but look at the thief on the cross. If that fellow hanging on the cross could say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, and Jesus say back to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. If there's hope for him, there's hope for you and me and Scott Adams too.
Tim?
Yeah, that's a pray for him. Say a prayer for him today, Scott Adams there. Dilbert, that was back in the newspaper days when newspapers reigned, or at least still had a lot of circulation in America. I'm talking about physical newspapers that you pick up and read. Dilbert was probably a top five comic strip nationwide.
Absolutely.
So it was read by millions, and you said, Steve, earlier. So a lot of people, they know Dilbert. They may not know the creator's name necessarily. His name is Scott Adams. He's the one we're talking about. He was the one we heard there commenting a few minutes ago. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story.
Are you a Chrome user? Do you use the browser Chrome? I do. It's the one I use. And we are finding out some disturbing news that there are two extensions called Phantom Shuttle that have been, they look harmless, but behind the scenes, they are hijacking traffic and stealing sensitive data from all the users who use them.
Legally?
I don't know.
All right. I like to put things on the lower level, bottom shelf.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for me. I have a great understanding and wisdom of things that are really elevated. But I understand the life of the average person, too. And so I will say that you're talking about Chrome. You're talking about a web browser, right?
Right. If you want to go on the internet,
like Brave or Firefox or DuckDuckGo or something like that, right?
Exactly.
So there's something called Chrome, which is very popular, right?
I think it's the default Microsoft browser.
Yeah. So you're saying that, well, you're not saying, who, I don't want to get sued here by Chrome. Okay, Steve, so make sure you source what you're talking about here.
Yeah, researchers at a place called Socket discovered two Chrome extensions using the same name, Phantom Shuttle. Now, these are extensions. You have to install them, and they are linked. They are,
why would you install them?
They are used to test the speed of a connection, especially if you're away from...
Okay. So what's the accusation?
That they route all your web traffic through proxy servers controlled by these people, and they steal very sensitive information. They can read your keystrokes.
That'll get you a bad reputation.
It will.
So is that so? Anyway, well, you got to be careful with all your data and information out there. Do not click on links that you do not click on links on emails, probably from people you even know.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
And don't respond to text messages. that you don't know who they're from. I mean, there's some common sense things that'll help you avoid being.
Well, and as a practical matter, if you've got Chrome, which I do, got to check your extensions because never know.
How do you check your extensions, Ray? Do you know?
There's a
way to do it.
Help me out here, Steve.
On the upper right-hand side of the browser, there's three dots, and then you go down and you can have a list of your extensions. It'll show you the extensions, and you can see what they are.
Like phone extensions? Extension 227, 228, 229, that kind of thing?
It could be a metaphor for that.
Okay. All right. A metaphor. So check your extensions. So my daughter got a text the other day from an unknown person, said, "Are you still alive?"
Are you serious?
Is that all it said?
Yes, that's all it said.
Question mark.
A text from somebody from an unknown number, and it just said, "Are you still
Question mark.
She texted back, "No, sorry."
Well, yeah, you get those. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You get those every once in a while. At least most people I know do, and it's a trick by a scammer to get you to engage with them. That's what it's for. That's what they ask. They ask open-ended questions. My wife got one the other day. Said, "Hey, we're coming to town for a convention in Tupelo." It was like from some unknown number, and it was like AI. I said, "That's an AI generated. They somehow know your phone is area code." I mean, really, that it's getting that sophisticated. The trickery out there. It's getting that sophisticated. All right, next story, Steve.
All right. How bad are things getting in Iran?
I don't know, Steve. How bad are they?
Iran is a country that is it's experiencing a lot of turmoil. There's protests in the street. Donald Trump has warned Iran that if they are going to be shooting protesters, as they have done, that there will be a price to pay.
He said what?
He's Trump warning what? Iran against shooting protesters in the streets.
Because
they have done that, and he's telling them that he's watching. But this is how bad they are. The Iranian government is trying to bribe its citizens, and it is saying it will give them a monthly payment of $7 to ease their to ease their economic pressure.
Well, thank goodness. 2 gallons of gas.
Yeah.
2 gallons of gasoline.
That's it. If you're pretty desperate, if that's all you can afford.
You know, we can only hope and pray, and I'm being serious about this, for that this may spark some changes in Iran. We've seen this kind of thing before where it dies out. But there is, by all accounts, there is at least the beginnings of an uprising against the mullahs. The mullahs being the ayatollahs, there may only be one ayatollah. Maybe that's the supreme. But the Islamic religious leaders that have controlled Iran for so long now, there is an uprising against them. They run it as an Islamic dictatorship, basically, because the living conditions and the wages and people's ability to pay for the basic things of life is getting really, really difficult, and people are getting upset and angry. And also, there are a lot of Iranians who they want freedom. They want freedom from this oppressive religious regime.
Because they knew it in the day back in the before 1976.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there. All right, Ray. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
And Steve.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it, Wesley. Appreciate it. Let's see, Chris Woodward. Made a great contribution to this show today. Brent Creeley and also
Jenna Ellis.
Jenna Ellis and Cole Green, too, as well. So we thank you for listening. We hope you'll stay with us here on AFR throughout the afternoon. Take care.